If you have your Bibles, open up to the book of 2 Timothy as we'll start with some comments that Paul has. While you're getting that open, let me take care of a couple comments I want to make. First, to those of you who have given me encouragement, I want you to know there is no way that I could set a price, a value on the encouragement that you give to me. I, one, want to encourage you to keep that up, but not just with me. I have spoken over the last 2 days with so many youth ministers, preachers, elders that are hurting, that are wondering if what they're doing is going to make any difference, that are struggling to feel like God is accomplishing something through them. And I stand around having so many pats on the back. My wife says, I have plenty more than I need. And I feel like a person at a banquet with a pile of double-decker Taco Bell tacos that I love so much, too much. And there are people standing around starving, wishing for just a bite. I want to commission you, as I thank you for your encouragement, to go home and give some of that to the people who week to week bless your lives. You see, I love coming here. This is cool. I get to come, preach, teach, laugh with you, cry with you, and run get on a plane. I don't have to deal with you when you're snotty and rude. I don't have to deal with you week to week when I look out and you're goofing off during the preaching or passing notes. I don't have to deal with you week to week when you're struggling, as we all do, and as folks at the church where I am do. Please don't ever mistake what you may feel here as somehow something superior, better, off the charts from what is being done for you by the elders and preachers and leaders at your church. I cannot preach on calling you to lead without first saying you need to learn to honor those who lead you today. So, take a pledge. Raise your right hand. I will go home and encourage my leaders really, really, really good this next week. May God be my helper. And I'm going to hold you to it. Amen? And why don't we just right now give a hand for all the youth ministers and sponsors and parents. Good stuff. Second, I want to thank you for the encouragement with regard to the book, and I stand here irritated and embarrassed. I'm irritated and embarrassed because of those of you who come to me and said, I'm trying to buy a copy of the book. I didn't think waiting till Saturday morning would be a big deal. Daring to Dance with God is completely and totally sold out. There is not, oh, thank you, there is not another copy over there. And let me tell you why this guy just walked up and gave his to me, and he's going to give me his address before this thing is over, so I can send him one. I needed a couple to take home to my wife and kids. I'm serious. I'm absolutely. I mean, they just. So, one, I thank you for that. Two, I'm embarrassed. If I were you, I said, man, I wanted you to sign it, Jeff. And so let me tell you what I'm going to do. If you're here and you wanted to get a copy of Daring to Dance with God, and you got over there and they were sold out, I will, if you'll write your name and address down on a piece of paper, I will send you back a form through which you can mail me a check, and I will sign a book for you and mail it to you, because I'm embarrassed and irritated that it wasn't enough for me to sign for those that wanted that. So if when this class is over, you'll just come by that black briefcase up there and just lay down a card or a thing with your name and address on it and your name, how you want it autographed, I will take that home. My secretary will send you out a letter so that you can send a check, because I don't want to take any checks or anything right now. No, I know I don't. That'll get laundered and lost. So I'll send something in the mail, and then you can send a check for it, and I'll mail you back a signed copy. And I will sit and sign all night if it takes it to get it back to you, because I feel bad. Because some of you came by, and I said, I'll wait and buy it on Saturday, and there's none left. So I apologize for that. Two things. Third and last, there's some yellow flyers up here. Some had asked me about that. That's on some material that I did while I was at England. I didn't get asked to speak here today on prayer, but while in England, I had some God-given, wonderful experiences in more lengthy prayer and deeper prayer than I've ever experienced before. And I put that together in a series of tapes. And I would love to share that with you today, but it wasn't called to do that. And so there's a few yellow flyers up there, or if you want, just stick your name on something and say, send me junk on the prayer thing, and I'll do that. Okay, said all I was supposed to. Now, let's talk about leadership. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. God, Father, in the Spirit, I can see a vision of the young men and women that are in this room leading one day. Lord, I can see missionaries and ministers, godly teachers, elders, deacons, and ministry leaders. Father, I can see worship leaders and creative artists using their gifts. Father, as I see that in my mind, Lord, I want to claim that. I want to claim that for the brothers and sisters here. Father, I ask that you put a burning desire to lead in every young person here, for our church is desperately in need of leadership. Father, I pray that you would move them past pride and ego and anything else that might be tied up in a fleshly sense of the word lead. Father, teach them to say what leaders say. Teach them to have the heart of Jesus with a towel and a bowl and wash dirty feet. I beg you for this, Lord. Raise up leaders from among these young. I pray this in Christ's name. And all who agree say, amen. They said this was a youth session. I look out and see a lot of wrinkled teenagers here. Though I'm talking to the young people, I am hoping that you will put this stuff in your back pocket and encourage them and will amen this. This generation has the opportunity to turn this world upside down if they will let God work in their lives. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there is revival taking place. It is taking place in unique and amazing ways. There are good things happening in the church. I've got to start by saying at the beginning of this text, where Paul, in writing to his young son in the faith, says, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. There is a need for me to start by saying, young people, be strong when you hear everybody telling you that the church is a mess. Be strong when people are telling you, oh man, I don't know, things where I'm at, it's just so dry. We go to Tulsa, and it's so exciting, and we come home, and it's just so dead. I mean, a preacher gets up and wins the 1996 Plywood Award for stiffness, and I'm asleep before he even gets through his scripture reading. The singing, oh man, I wish we had Jerome, and our emotions can get carried away. I want you to be strong. Note that it is not feel strong, because you will not always feel strong. You will not always feel happy. You will not always feel Tulsa. Yo comprende? You will not always have that, oh, yes, man, this is so good. Your emotions are expandable and retractable. And Paul doesn't say to young Timothy, now listen, every time you go to church, I want you to feel. Hey, I'm thankful to feelings. I'm glad to feel. Last night, I felt. Amen? I was moved. I wept. I was touched. Seeing the baptisms, it was great. But Paul didn't say, Timothy, go hunt for a church that'll give you good feeling. Timothy, go someplace where you get goosebumps every Sunday. Timothy, go find someplace where you're just shaking in your boots every time they sing. He said, Timothy, you make a choice when you get up in the morning and put your feet on the ground to be strong. Warning. The church is seeking feeling. Praise God for good feelings, but feelings will never replace choosing through God to simply be strong. You see, feelings come and go. As I said, they're expandable and retractable. I'm not worried about your feelings. I'm not worried about last night warping you. I know that after it's over, our feelings zap back. I came home some months back and my wife had been beaten in our own den. I walked in the house She was, I mean, it looked like her face was black and blue. She had a big Afghan wrapped around her. She was sitting on the couch shivering. She looked for all the world like someone had run in and just beat her and run out. And I said, "Catherine, what is it?" And she said, "This TV show. Did you see that little baby? He's sick and he's going to die, but they're taking him home anyway just so she can put him in the nursing room for later." And I said, "Sweetheart, let me shut it off." And she said, "Don't you touch that." "Cab, why are you crying? This is silly. Don't. I want to see the end. He's going to die. I just know he's going to..." "Shut it off. Leave it alone. Just go on. Just go on." And I left her there. I didn't walk out thinking, "Oh, man, she's warped for life. For the rest of her life," because I knew that after the TV show was over, she'd have a glass of milk, she'd wipe her eyes, she'd go to bed, and tomorrow she'll be fine. That's how emotions work. Warning. Paul said, "Timothy, it's good to feel good, but you choose to be strong." Read on. He says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." Though I'd love to spend a long time just on be strong in the grace, and praise God that we're saved by grace, and we need to lean on that, and remember that it's not through our works that we're going to heaven, but through God's good gift. I'm not going to be led into the pearly gates because Jeff Walling spoke at Tulsa, or Jeff Walling wrote a book, or Jeff Walling baptized this person or that person. The only reason I'm going to get in the pearly gates, when God looks at my scroll, He will not be impressed. He will not open the book of life and say, "Oh, Jeff Walling, wow, sign my book." I mean, He's not going to do that. God is going to look in the book and say, "Walling, you did that, and you missed that opportunity, and you said that." God, please. They don't know. Why do you think I'll alert you into heaven, and I'm going to say, "This is my friend Jesus, and He'll explain the whole thing"? That is the only way I'm getting through the pearly gates, is because my friend Jesus will explain it. And He'll explain it just like this. "Let him in, Beth. It's one I paid for." Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And He said, "Now the things that I've shared with you, I want you to share with others." And of course, the things that Paul shared with him were the things that Jesus has shared with him. And we go all the way back to Paul saying, keep sharing. There are 8 things you need to learn to say as a leader. How many of you went to Winterfest this year? Anybody go to... Raise your hand high if you went to Winterfest. If you've never been to that deal, it is the largest youth rally in the country. There were 6,500 teenagers gathered together at the Gatlinburg Convention Center. It was awesome. 2 years ago, there were over 100 baptisms on Sunday morning. I mean, it was just one of those blow-you-away kind of events. And as I talk to the kids there and across the country at different conferences, I hear young people saying, I want to lead. I want to get out there and lead. But our picture of leading is often, I want to be able to tell others what to do. That's not what Paul is talking about when he says, pass on to others the things that you've heard me. He's not saying you jump up in your youth group or in your home and say, all right, I'm going to lead here. But rather, he says, you learn to say the things that Jesus said. Now, I want to give you a practical example of some leadership, of using your gifts and skills. And I'm just going to kind of tuck this in. I believe that we have a lot of young people who could lead through using the gifts and skills and talents you have that may not fit easily into your scheme of what Christian leadership is. For instance, brother, wherever you are, come out. This happens to be a young man who had a gift. His gift wasn't one that most people would immediately say, wow, this is a blessing to the church. His gift happened to be a gift of performing and a love for magic. I want to let him share something with you. Go for it, man. Yep. Is that up at all? He's working on it.
Okay. Before you, I brought my six-pack of Cokes. There's only 6 packs, but I get around, you know. This is my folks. And I've got a paper bag with nothing in it but air. So this is a pretty important paper bag to me. But I'm going to show you that when we are empty, as this bag is, there's one person that moves in quickly, and that's Satan. Sorry, I'm one-handed. So So Satan has moved into my life now. I have placed the Coke bottle into the bag. Now that he's in my life, I decided, no, I don't want him here. I'm going to become that leader that God wants me to be, and I'm going to have to get rid of Satan. So I'm going to say, Jesus, I'm going to give you my life. You take my life, and you make me what you want to be. But first, I have to get rid of Satan. So just a minute, Jesus, and let me go ahead and get rid of Satan right quick. So the Coke bottle is in the bag. Satan's around. But this time, I'm going to say, on three, Satan's going to disappear. So watch carefully, because this is good, okay? All right, one, two, three. Thank you. Thank you. That's good, huh? Okay, you're skeptical.
You have a right to be.
Satan's still around. But could you see him? No, he's in the bag. That's what we do with our lives. We say, Satan, I'm going to get rid of you. And we say, he's gone. But we hold him just close enough for extra credit. But no, Jesus, this time I'm going to go ahead and give you my life. I'm going to give it to you, but I got to get rid of Satan. So maybe this time it'll work. You ready? Satan, be gone. One, two, and three. All right. Thank you. Yeah, okay. That's kind of a sympathy clap. Oh, big deal. You're right. Satan's still in the bag. I didn't really get rid of him well. But the problem with this is what Jeff was talking about last night. We can't do it. It's not what do we need to do. Well, we need to get rid of Satan. We can't. It's him. Christ needs to get rid of Satan. So I'm going to turn up and I'm going to say, Jesus, I'm going to give my life to you. Everything I have, I want to be the leader that you want me to be. I'm going to just surrender everything I am and everything I have to you. And Jesus says, thank you. He steps in and says, Satan, this one is mine. And you can't touch him. Leave him alone. And Jesus gets rid of Satan. Watch carefully. One, two, and three. Now are you impressed?
You should be.
We gave it a try.
I want to know later, all right?
You know that young man, he's just a teenager. He's just a kid who said, you know what? I love to do this. I don't feel called to jump up and preach, and I don't have the skills maybe to be a song leader, but I love to do it. God, can you do this? And God said, oh man, hand me that bag. Let me use that skill. Are you a poet? Are you a writer? Do you sing? Could you create something wonderful? Don't think that in the next few minutes we talk about leadership. I'm just talking about elders and preachers. I'm just talking about people who are going to lead in committees. Use what God's given you. As he said to Moses, what's in your hand? Moses said, all I got is a stick. God said, that's plenty. Whatever is in your hand, God will use it. Toni Strzok is a single lady. She loved music. She wanted desperately to do something in our community to touch people. She couldn't preach. She couldn't teach. Even if she could, we wouldn't let her. So here we are. And Toni says, you know, man, I love music. And she teaches children music at a little elementary school. What can I do? We started talking and praying. And 5 summers ago, we started the children's theater workshop at our church. You know what it is? Instead of VBS, with all of us dressing up in goofy-looking bathrobes and learning our lines to be Moses and Aaron, we ran an ad in the paper. Put your children in a summer play about Jesus. Auditions. May such and such. We had 100 kids from out of the community show up to audition with their moms and dads. Tuesday and Thursday mornings, Toni worked with them, along with me and some others, for 8 weeks. We had the performances and thought, I wonder if anybody will come. They invited grandma, grandpa, uncles, and aunts this last summer. 1,500 people from our town came to see these kids. That doesn't impress me. I'm glad they're there. We baptized 8 families. Now, hang on. Praise God for that, but listen now. That did not happen because Jeff Walling preached at him. It happened because Toni Clark said, I love to teach kids music. Isn't there a way I can use this gift to lead people? Problem was, people said, this has been so great during the summer. We love this. What do you do all year long? Well, you can't do VBS all year round. That'll kill a church, let me tell you right now. First ones to revolt are the cookie bakers. So, Toni said, Jeff, would you mind if I ran a little ad that said we'd have a children's chorus that would sing, and we'd practice on Wednesday night and go sing at old folks' home at Christmas time. I thought, that'd be great, Toni. We gave her a room that'd seat 30. I said, will this work? She said, it'll be fine. she had 180 children show up to sing in the children's chorus. And then we had a problem. They all brought their parents with them because none of them can drive. None of these 7, 8, 9-year-olds drove. So Mom and Dad drive to our church on Wednesday night. Our Wednesday night is just about like y'all's Wednesday night. So here were our, 100 or so, sitting there in the chairs, ready to start when people start pouring in. The building filled up on Wednesday night. Our deacons began to freak out. Who are these people and why are they here? Tony took the 130 children into our fellowship hall to lead them singing, and all the moms and dads sat at the back of the auditorium. And some bright person said, "Jeff, maybe we ought to have a class for these people." That's a good idea. We offered a dad's class and a mom's class on Wednesday nights. We had nearly as many on Wednesday nights at our building as we had on Sunday. The difference was that 100-plus of them were moms and dads from our community. That is not a story to tell you to say, "Wow, Jeff, that's cool." You need to know it happened because a young lady at our church said, "I've got a gift. God, can you help me use it?" And God said, "I've just been waiting for you to ask. I want to plant the seed in your heart, young person. Don't think that the gift you have isn't something God can use. But if you want to lead, there are 8 things you have to learn how to say. And, oh, man, do we have to do this quickly. I need the 7 up here real, real fast. I mean real fast, guys. I hate making presentations that people forget. So I'm going to ask these guys to help me make sure you guys never forget this. Can you guys get up here? And you've got a Bible, right? Good. Do you read? Good. That's good. All right. Can you come? Can I get that mic back out here just real, real fast? Can you? Here. Come here. Right here. Good. You guys all just toe the line right in front of that podium there. If you would stand shoulder to shoulder facing the audience. Good deal. These guys have no idea what they're going to do, so cut them a little grace here. All right. Good. Marvelous. Good. What's your name?
Brad Seaton.
That's correct. Brad, what I want you to do is I want you to open up to Matthew chapter. Here, I'll hold this. Matthew chapter 5, Brad, and find the Beatitudes. I want you to find them, too. You're going to underline some things. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus taught the best leadership course in the world in the first 10 verses of the Sermon on the Mount. These are 8 things that you've got to learn to say if you want to lead people. Elders, by the way, preachers, go ahead and take notes. This is for you, too. But young people, I want to plant this in your heart. Brad, you have one job. Every time I stick this mic in your face, all you have to do is read the next Beatitude, okay? Just stick with it and don't let me get lost, Bub, because we don't have a whole lot of time. Can you do that?
Yes, sir.
Read the next Beatitude.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are the who?
Poor in spirit.
The what in spirit?
Poor.
Poor?
Yes, sir.
Rich?
No.
No. Poor?
Yes.
Poor. You just stick with it, Bud. All you got to do is stick with what's there, all right? Rich?
Poor.
Poor.
Yes.
Rich?
Poor.
Poor.
Yes.
Good. All right. I just want to make sure. Folks, I want you to tune in now. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Any good leader starts by knowing that he is not rich, wealthy on his own. That when he looks in his own heart, he says, "Man, I tell you, I can't do this job. I can't accomplish what I need to." So you learn to say 3 words that demonstrate, "I know I'm poor in spirit. I need you." Okay? What's your name?
Jeremy.
Where are you from?
Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Good deal, Jeremy. Tell you what. Can you say, "I need you"?
I need you.
Jeremy, can you say it like you really mean it?
I need you.
Now, Jeremy, can you do what a little baby does with his arms when mama has gone away and come back and the babysitter has been with her, but the baby's wanting his mama and mama walks through the door? What does the baby do with his arms? Yeah, that's right. Only stick them straight out like this and hold out like you're wanting to hold somebody. There you go. Good, just like that. There you go. Mama. Now, you're going to say, "I need you" every time I stick the mic in your face, okay? Learning to say, "I need you." Okay, you don't have to. Just keep those still there. That's right. Learning, look, let me make it easy. You see the gal in the 8th row, focus right on her. All right, let me make it plain. Too many times we think leaders are people that ride out on their white horse and don't need anybody. Brothers and sisters, we in the church need to learn to say to one another,
"I need you."
We need to skin them fish, I tell you. We need to learn to say to our parents,
"I need you."
No, just stick the arms out and hold them still.
"I need you."
Now you look like Frankenstein. This is not working. We need to learn to say to our youth group members,
"I need you."
We need to learn to say to God,
"I need you."
Understand that being able to say,
I need you.
It's not saying I'm a weak person. It is saying I know that I need others. I want you to turn to the person next to him, look him in the eye, and say it like you mean it.
I need you.
All right, good. Beatitude number two.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Blessed are those who what?
Mourn.
Who what?
Mourn.
Does that be happy?
No, sir.
It is what?
Sad.
Mourn. Okay. Tell you what I want you to do. This time when you read the word, blessed are those who mourn, I want you to read mourn with so much sadness these people will never forget it.
Blessed are those who mourn.
We're going to try that just one more time there. Just deep sadness.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
I'm sad with you, brother. What does it mean to be a person who mourns? We already know we need to learn to say,
I need you.
But now being a person who mourns is one who is willing to hurt when you work with others. Let me make sure you understand this. As soon as you get in a relationship with people and say,
I need you,
you're going to get hurt, aren't you? You're going to get stepped on. You're going to get pinched. You're going to get tweaked. And you're going to do it to them. And so mourning is being willing to let the feeling of sorrow out to say, I'm sorry. Can you say that?
I'm sorry.
Can you say it like you just got snagged and your parents are about to kill you?
I'm sorry.
You say that like a pro, Paul. Can you put your hands together like a little kid does when he's, oh, please, Mama.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now, understand that saying,
I'm sorry.
Saying,
I'm sorry.
Straight from the heart is something that some of you have friends that don't think you can do. In fact, there are people that would be shocked if you ever said to them,
I'm sorry.
Because normally, well, it wasn't my fault. Well, a leader is a person who learns to say these two words.
I'm sorry.
Elders, by the way, preachers, let's lead an example with this before our teens. When we goof up, we need to learn to say,
I'm sorry.
Because we've already said,
I need you.
I need you to work on my committee. I need you to work with me. I need you to help me. I need you to. But then sometimes we forget the ability to say, where are your hands?
I'm sorry.
Now, if I am willing to say,
I'm sorry,
I've got to also be willing to let that sorrow be seen. Mourn means letting it come out. The third beatitude.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
The weak?
The meek.
Weak?
Meek. Yes.
Weak?
Meek.
Not weak.
It's close.
Thank you. So the word is?
Meek.
Meek. Meek does not mean weak. Meek is?
Meek.
Meek, exactly. Do you know what the word, if you go to the Greek, you know what the word meek means? It means a stallion that's being held back. It means great power that is in control. Being meek means willing to say, what's your name?
Jason.
Jason, glad you're here, man. Where are you from?
West Monroe, Louisiana.
Correct again. Jason, your thing is, can you say, I respect you?
I respect you.
Can you look at me and mean it?
I respect you.
You make me feel so good, man. Now, can you stick your hands out and do the we are not worthy thing as you say that?
I respect you.
Have you ever said that? Wait, imagine now. Jason goes home, finds his mother and father, and says, need to tell you something.
I respect you.
Would they immediately look at Jason and think, where have you been and what have you been doing? Brothers and sisters, leaders are not people who say, come on, go, and just drag folks around. They are people who have been willing to say to others,
I respect you.
Even when you differ with me,
I respect you.
Even when you make me mad,
I respect you.
Even when you do things that I disagree with,
I respect you.
Even when you're wrong,
I respect you.
Folks, let me put it this way. Teenagers, you want to make your life 1,000% better? You go home and say that about 10 times every day to your parents, and you will improve your life. I guarantee it. I am a parent. I know. It is like chocolate and honey to parents to hear a teen honestly say,
I respect you.
Do before you do that the first time, get some pillows behind them and around them for when they fall over. Meekness is not saying I got to have my way. It's saying I respect you. I was at McDonald's, oh, I don't know, a month or two back, and this huge guy. The guy was huge. He had shoulders stuck out like this, giant. He was huge. I'm standing at McDonald's watching this huge guy standing in line, slowly waiting as our lines are going down. He is second to the first. He's been waiting for half an hour, and he looks over while his wife says, get one more Happy Meal. And some 13-year-old punk drops his bike outside, runs in, sees the guy looking this way, and darts in front of him in line. This huge guy looks down, and I think, that's a dead child now. He's just going to reach up and thump, and that kid's going to fly straight through that door. He just said,
excuse me, is this your spot? And the kid looked, I could not believe this kid. He looked up at him and said, yeah, you want to make something of it? The world's only living brain donor standing right here. I watched, I thought, this kid is toast. And this huge guy looks down and says, if you say so, and just stood there. I mean, everybody's looking at him thinking, get him! And he just stood there, let the kid buy his meal, let's go on, and then he stepped up to the counter. I wished I had thought to walk up to him afterwards and say, you know, you, because you must know Jesus, or somebody must have taught you about him for you to behave like that. Brothers and sisters, true leaders. Yeah, you can clap for that guy. That's cool. That's all right. True leaders are those who learn to rein in whatever authority they have and to say,
I respect you.
Even to folks who may not, quote, deserve it. Let's practice. So far we've learned to say,
I need you.
Creative, I like it. All right. Say it with him. We've learned to say,
I need you.
And,
I'm sorry.
And,
I respect you.
Good. If you're sitting next to your parents, turn to them and say that right now to them. Go ahead, do it. They like the bowing part. I respect you.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness.
Blessed are those who what?
Hunger and thirst.
Who hunger?
Yes.
And thirst?
Yes.
So they're hungry?
Yes.
And thirsty?
Yes.
For what?
Righteousness.
What's the root word of the word righteousness?
Righteous.
What's the root word of the word righteous?
Right.
Right. These are people who want to be
righteous.
And therefore they have to choose to be
right
all the time. They make a decision in their hearts that no matter what the task, no matter what the job, they are not going to cross this line. I will do what is right. You at this point should be paying a lot of attention. I will do what is right regardless. Ready? What's your name?
Kevin Carter.
Kevin, where are you from?
Coffeyville, Kansas.
You ever done anything like this in Coffeyville?
No, sir.
Do not try this at home, Kevin. All right, here we go. Finger, ready? In the air. This little light of mine. And we put it up on the word right, okay? Here we go.
I.
It's okay. It happens to a lot of people. I will do. What's right.
What's
right. And then you keep it up and say, regardless.
Regardless.
Good. Put it down. All right. What does it mean to make the pledge and say, it's I will do what's right, regardless. Right, regardless. Excuse me, sorry. All right. What does it mean to take the pledge and say,
I will do what's right, regardless.
Oh, yeah! Woo! Woo, 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 woo! If you are given a leadership position, you will be tempted to do what is wrong. You'll be tempted to push people. You'll be tempted to manipulate people. You'll be tempted to disregard people. You will be tempted to lie to people. When God calls you to lead, He calls you to decide,
I will do what's right, regardless.
Now, that last word is important. That means, young lady, if you're dating some guy and you really, really are wanting to lead him to Jesus, but you're struggling, you've got to let him know before that date even starts.
I will do what's right, regardless.
Regardless of whether you drop me if I don't do what you want me to do. Young man, if you're going to lead some of your friends at school, you know, oh man, yeah, have a beer, do this, do that, and you're thinking, oh man, are they going to not let me be their leader if I don't do this? Will you take the pledge? I am hungering and thirsting for righteousness. I want it as badly as I want food and water. I
will do what's right, regardless.
Are you willing to take that pledge? Say it with him and do the finger thing. Here we go.
I will do what's right, regardless.
Good. Quickly, review. Do the arms.
I need you.
And
I'm sorry.
And
I respect you.
And
I will do what's right, regardless.
And
yes. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
The merciful?
Yes.
What do they show?
Mercy.
They give?
Mercy.
Mercy. Mercy, mercy, mercy. That's what the merciful give. But here's the thing about a leader. Here's the thing about a Christian example. Here's the thing about a person that's dedicated to Jesus. He said, blessed are the
merciful,
because they've made a decision to be that way. I have... Hi, what's your name?
Kim.
Kim. This is your thing, Kim. I have forgiven you. Can you do this? Great. That's the forgive, just like the umpire there. I have forgiven you. But that's what most people think mercy is. Let me tell you what biblical mercy is. Biblical mercy is, I have forgiven you already. Can you say that with me? I have forgiven you already. And just turn your hands over like that on the already part. What does it mean to say,
I have forgiven you already?
It means to say that before you've even had a chance to say,
sorry,
I have already decided,
I have forgiven you already.
Understand, kids, that too many of us wait around and say, well, you know what? He never said,
I'm sorry.
And until he says,
I'm sorry,
I'm not going to forgive him. I'm just going to stand here. That's not being merciful. Mom and dad, elder preacher, tell you what, to have them come back and said,
I'm sorry.
Do they know that?
I have forgiven you already.
They need to know that. Amen. They need to know that we're not the judge and jury. We leave that up to Jesus. We got to hurry. Next.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God.
The pure?
Yes.
Poor?
No.
Pure?
Yes.
Sick?
No.
Take your time. This is a quiz. Adulterated?
No.
Poor?
Yes.
Poor?
Pure.
Pure. When we say the...
What?
Pure.
Pure.
I know, it's been a long morning already for you, hadn't it? When we say the...
Pure.
In heart, we're talking about someone who is clean, clear, see-through hearts. This is the toughest thing I will ask you to do in this class. Raise your right hand. What's your name?
Justin.
Excuse me?
Justin.
Speak up there. Just keep this thing up and I'll try and monitor it. Your name is?
Justin.
Justin, can you raise your right hand? Good. The pledge is... No, you guys have your own things to do. Just okay. The pledge is... I will be honest with... Pure in heart. Listen, gang, pure. I will be honest with you.
I will be honest with you.
Always.
Always.
You sing tenor in the chorus, don't you, bud? What does it mean to say,
I will be honest with you always?
Is that like your natural voice? I mean, that's just... Can you imagine having a baby and have it say, well... It's just... Man, God's giving you the pipes, man. That's cool. Whoa. What does it mean? All right, knock it out. What does it mean to say?
I will be honest with you always.
What does it mean to say that? It means that you take the pledge that even when it's going to hurt, even when it's going to be lost, even when you may lose some face, as a leader, as a Christian example,
I will be honest with you always.
Can you take that pledge with him? Let's all say it together.
I will be honest with you all.
Now, I want you, if your mom and dad is anywhere near you, to think of their face looking at you and saying, did you go to that place?
I will be honest with you always.
Did you do that?
I will be honest with you always.
Did you kiss that girl?
I will be honest with you always.
Do your folks know that? Have you told them that? You want to be a leader? You start by taking the pure in heart pledge. Hurriedly, let's do it. First, we got to say,
I need you.
And
I'm sorry.
And
I respect you.
And
I will do what's right always.
Regardless. It's okay. Yeah, we'll do it again. You just relax. But when you see me like down there coming this way, you should be saying in your head, what is my line? Okay, all right. Here we go. Say it and do it with me. Here we go.
I need you.
And
I'm sorry.
And
I respect you.
And
I will do what's right regardless.
And
I have forgiven you already.
They're a little weak on that. Do that again.
I have forgiven you already.
And take the pledge.
I will be honest with you always.
You don't have to do it like that. There's 18-year-olds down here going, I will be honest with you always. Next.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God.
Blessed are the who?
Peacemakers.
What do they make?
Peace.
They're peacemakers.
Yes.
Who make?
Peace.
Peace is like homemade bread. Everybody loves it. Few are willing to take the time to make it. A peacemaker is not a person who loves peace. A peacemaker
makes peace.
You got it? Now, making peace is something that a leader must learn how to do. Jesus says, blessed are these people. They're Christian examples, and here's how you do it. What's your name?
Jared.
Jared, step out here, bud. Okay? Your thing is first, and when you say first, just stick your hand out like that, all right? Okay? Practice it with me. Turn, face me. Ready? Like you're just going to shake hands, and when I say the word first, you stick it out. Ready? Let me be the first to stop this fight. Okay? You ready? Here we go. Let me be the first to stop this fight. Okay? By the way, remember what a fight was like in elementary school? Remember how you used to watch fights in elementary school? Remember, let me show you what an elementary school fight looks like. Put your hands behind your back. Stick your chest out as far as you can. Hey, man, right now. Come on. Come on, you woman. Come on, man, right now. Come on, yeah. Come on, right now. Right now, man. And what did all of you guys who were standing around the circle do as you saw that? What'd you holler? And the angels wept. Because Christian young people need to be the ones saying, let me be the first to stop this fight. In your churches, it's going to happen too. Young people, in your youth groups, it is happening. You're arguing and fussing and you're standing back saying, I just can't believe she'd say that. I just can't believe he'd do that. You know what? You know, he deserves everything he gets. You ought to just cut her off. You ought to just cut him off. You ought to never speak to... Instead, God is waiting for young people who want to lead to step out and say,
sorry. Let me be the first to stop this fight.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Do it. Say it with him. Ready?
Let me be the first to stop this fight.
Do the hand thing. You'll remember it that way.
Let me be the first to stop this fight.
As fast as we can. Here we go.
I need you.
All together with the arms.
I need you.
And
I'm sorry.
And
I respect you.
And
I will do what's right regardless.
And
I have forgiven you already.
And
I will be honest with you always.
And okay, you're in a key position here. There are thousands depending on you. I know, you didn't know when you put on this jacket and got these clothes, you didn't know you'd be standing up here, but this is your time, man. This is your spot. Do it. We believe in you. And you know what? If you goof up...
I have forgiven you already.
All right, here we go. Say it and do it with them. Let's say it and do it. Why don't you remember this stuff? Say it and do it with them, with the arms. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I need you.
And
I'm sorry.
And
I respect you.
And
I will do what's right regardless.
And
I have forgiven you already.
And
I will be honest with you always.
And
let me be the first to stop this.
Yes, yes, yes. And that was the last beatitude, right?
No, sir.
What?
No, sir.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
What's the last one?
Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Those who are what?
Persecuted.
Persecuted?
Yes.
You, right there. Well, no, right next to you. The other you. Yeah, you. Hi, what's your name? Would you mind very much getting up before 1,000 or two people? Come here, would you? Just give me your arm, bud. Just climb right up here. There we go. Good. All right. Come stand right over here by this last guy. Right here. Right here. Now, let me explain you something. What's your name again?
Brandon.
Where are you from, Brandon?
Salem, Missouri.
Brandon, I got to tell you something, bud. I appreciate you've been listening right down there and doing all these motions, but let me tell you something that I don't want to tell you, Brandon. Even if you do all the stuff we've talked about as you grow up, I mean, honestly, if you're the person that says, I need you, and I'm sorry, and I respect you, and hey, I'll always be truthful to you, and I've forgiven you, Brandon, even if you do all that stuff, I want you to know this truth. There will be people who will treat you bad. Some of them will be mean and rude to you, Brandon, even though you're nice to them. Some of them will do it just because you're a boy. Some of them will do it because you're white. Some of them will do it because you're, maybe even just because you're a Christian, Brandon, and I'm sorry about that, but I got to tell you the truth. Jesus says there's one more thing a leader, a real person who's going to lead, has got to learn how to say. He's got to learn how to deal with it when people are mean to him when they shouldn't be. And this is what you say. You say, can you do that? Right, like that, like kind of karate. Like, yeah, like that. Okay, good. You say, I will cut you slack. Two of those. I will cut you slack. You know what it means, cut somebody slack? It means, you know what, I'm gonna overlook it. I'm going to overlook you. You need to say it with me. I will cut you slack. Why? Because Jesus, can you point up, did me. And you point yourself. Okay, say it with me. I will cut you slack because Jesus did me. One more time. I will cut you slack because Jesus did me. Brandon, when we get to you, man, you're going to say,
I will cut you slack because Jesus did me.
Can you do it one time with your arms and just everybody's just going to really, they will, they'll always remember this.
I will cut you slack because Jesus did it for me.
Amen. Amen. Here we go. I just yanked the other house mic here. You know what? I'll just use the handheld, all right, bud? I'll just use the handheld. Here we go. Are you ready? We're going to do it. I want you all to do the arm motion so you never forget. This is Jesus' course on Christian leadership. You can't lead without learning to say these things. Mom and Dad, say amen. Here we go. First, you got to learn to say,
I need you.
And meet it. You got to learn to say,
I'm sorry.
And
I respect you.
You must say,
I will do what's right always.
And you must say,
I have forgiven you already.
And
I will be honest with you always.
And
let me be the first to stop this fight.
And finally, when they're mean and rude to you anyway, you say,
I'll cut you slack because Jesus did.
Now I want to let these guys show you what can happen when you can work together like that. You, and you. Step right out here. And you, get shoulder to shoulder. Get down on your hands and knees. Hands on the floor. You three guys, on their backs. Make them flat, guys. Bend down and make them flat. There you go. Can you carefully? Brother, will you help Brandon? I want you to know that the way you reach the top is by being a servant. And this image of these guys, when I tell you, okay, Brandon, up on the guy there. And hold him, would you, Brad? Can you get Brandon right up on the middle guy? Put his knees and his hands and brace him there. You can do it, Brandon. It's just cement. Okay, good. All right. Hold right there. Now wait. I don't want you to applaud. I want you to show them they did a good job. I want you to say all eight of them while they are in this position. And we're going to do the arm motions. Are you ready?